Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to the South Bay Show, South Bay Spotlight, on October 5th, 2017, my mom's birthday. Live, love, laugh, and leave a legacy. That's what we do here in the South Bay of Los Angeles, and it's a beautiful place to do just that. Happy birthday, Mom.
The South Bay Show is brought to you by the Academy of Foreign Languages. If you have any interest in learning a new language or brushing up on existing language skills, you should know about the Academy of Foreign Languages. Located in Palos Verdes, the Academy of Foreign Languages specializes in the art of communication. Their mission is to provide the finest language instruction possible. They recognize that each student has distinctive needs and craft their teaching technique to optimize an individual's particular learning skills. At the Academy of Foreign Languages, they strive to create a comfortable environment conducive to learning. So whether you're learning a new language or would simply like to converse in your native tongue, the Academy of Foreign Languages can accommodate you. For additional information, visit their website at academyofforeignlanguages.com, that's all spelled out, or call 310-975-4133.
I'm your host, Joe Terry, and you can read all about our many adventures on Facebook at facebook.com/The South Bay Show. Persistence, passion, principle, and purpose. That's what we talk about here on The South Bay Show. And of course, I'm not alone because of our great partnership with South Bay by Jackie.com and executive producer of the South Bay Show, Jackie Balestra. Hey, Jackie, how are you doing today?
Happy birthday to the mother of my other brother.
Yes. Yes. My mom was born in 1921.
Wow.
She's no longer with us, but I do celebrate her birthday every day, every October 5th.
Oh, that's exciting. You know, my mom was born in 25, but she is still with us.
Yeah.
I'm a lucky girl.
Yes.
I am a lucky girl. I am
you
a lucky
are.
Girl. Yeah. Yeah.
Still
so,
going strong.
So anyway, we have a big show today. But before we get to it, I just wanted to mention that we had that big candlelight vigil last night at the Manhattan Beach Pier for the victims of the Las Vegas tragedy. What a turnout. What a turnout. And you know, I'm old school, Joe. At the pier, instead of doing candles, they all held up their cell phones, in, you know, instead of having candles. There are some photographs of it in the local papers this morning, and you can go online and see them. And it was quite a turnout. And I just wanted to mention that tonight at Lomita City Hall is another candlelight vigil because we lost four people here in the South Bay. And one from Torrance, one from Manhattan, one from Redondo, and one from Lomita. And so, as I said, tonight there at 6:30, I believe it is, there's candlelight vigil at Lomita City Hall. So I just wanted to put that out there.
Right. Very tragic. And you know, it just gets worse and worse and worse as you know, Jackie, there are more guns in the United States than people.
Really?
Yes.
Really?
Documented fact. More guns than people.
Yes. There's like 380 million people in this country. Really? I didn't know that there were more guns. I think I knew that there were more dogs and cats, but not guns. Okay, that's a topic for another day, because we got some exciting stuff to talk about today, right?
We do, and you know, music is life. Music is life. And also, there's something special, Jackie, still today. I mean, since we're talking about the events of the day, Tom Petty, unbelievable. Mm-hmm. I am so shocked, surprised, and saddened by the passing of Tom Petty, of music that he represented. is still going strong. I mean, young people today are still as captured by that era of classic music as they, as classic rock and roll and classic music as they ever were.
As am I. As
it's amazing.
Tom Petty Tom Petty and the Heartbreakers, one of my favorite bands of all time. I've seen them dozens of times in concert. He's got, you know, it always makes me so damn sad when these talented people, be they writers or musicians or actors, and it's so sad to me to think that we're never going to see new stuff from them again. But the good side is that we'll always have what they've already done, right?
Right. So let's talk about some more classic music. And right here in the South Bay, which is fantastic. Jackie, who are our guests today?
Our guests this morning are Lee Lessac, Susanna Mars, and Johnny Rogers, cast members of In Perfect Harmony. Lee Lessac's graceful lyric baritone vocals and sophisticated persona have made him a shining star on the international concert scene. Billboard magazine calls his singing cabaret romanticism of a high order. Touring extensively in the United States and Europe to sold-out performances and releasing 8 albums, Lee has proven himself both as a performer and recording artist. Among his critically acclaimed albums is a live recording of Too Marvelous for Words, the songs of Johnny Mercer, from the famed Cinegrill in the Hollywood Roosevelt Hotel, which was chosen for the 2002 Grammy Award preliminary ballot. His newest album, in collaboration with Johnny Rogers, is a recreation of the Simon and Garfunkel Live in Central Park concert in September 1981. I was at that concert, Joe. A Philadelphia native, Lee now resides in Los Angeles, where in 1996 he founded LML Music, which has a catalog of over 100 of the country's top live recording artists and performers. Now, Johnny Rogers is an internationally celebrated singer-songwriter, pianist, music ambassador, Broadway star, and recording artist who is described by Stephen Holden from the New York Times as an entertainer who has show business in his bones with fused elements of Billy Joel, Peter Allen, and Johnny Mercer. Johnny has recently returned to Chicago, the place where he says started it all. Since beginning his career there 15 years ago, he has traveled the country and the world making music with great artists such as Billy Joel and Judy Collins, and also with the unknown talents found in villages across the Middle East and Southeast Asia. No matter where he roams, Johnny dazzles audiences with his American melange of original songs and classics. Johnny tours with his band as music ambassadors for the State Department to places such as the Middle East, North Africa, Southeast Asia, the Pacific Islands, and Russia. This summer, Johnny Rogers will be touring in Europe, this time to Minsk, Belarus. When in the U.S., he can be found playing and singing at Chicago's Davenport's Piano Bar every Saturday and Sunday night. That is, if he's not off doubling as music director and piano man for Liza Minnelli. Johnny's work and talent has not gone unnoticed and has earned him the New York Nightlife's Bistro and Mac Awards for his performances at Carnegie Hall, Lincoln Center, Jazz at Lincoln Center, Oak Room at the Algonquin Hotel, and Feinstein's at Lowe's Regency's, the Colony Hotel Palm Beach, Birdland, and other premier clubs. His songwriting has been recognized with Billboard and ASCAP Foundation Awards. Now, 6-time Portland Drama Critic Award winner Susanna Mars has been based in Portland, Oregon for the past 25 years and has appeared in over 100 productions, concerts, and recordings around the country. Most recently, she starred in the Portland Opera production of Sweeney Todd. Susanna is a resident artist at Artist Repertoire Theater, where she starred in The Quality of Life, Next to Normal, and her one-woman show, Mars on Life. Susanna also appeared at the Portland Playhouse in The Light in the Piazza, and at Portland Center Stage, she was cast in Fiddler on the Roof, Gypsy, Bat Boy, and Ragtime. She has appeared with the Oregon and Seattle Symphonies and has been awarded 2 Regional Arts and Culture Council grants for her solo work. Susanna is featured on the soon-to-be-released cast album for the new musical, What? And she stars as Drew Wu's psychiatrist, Dr. Riche, on the hit show Grimm on NBC. Now, the Torrance Cultural Arts Foundation presents In Perfect Harmony on Saturday, October 7th, for 2 shows only at 2 and 8 p.m. The show features the timeless music of groups like the Mamas and the Papas, the Fifth Dimension, the Temptations, the Beach Boys, Simon and Garfunkel, Crosby, Stills, Nash and Young, and more. And this morning, we're going to learn what audiences can expect, and we're going to listen to some of the music. So, Susanna, Johnny, Lee, welcome to the program. We are so glad you could join us this morning.
Good morning.
Good morning. Thanks for having us.
Thanks for having us.
Thank you. Thank you, all three of you. It is a truism that the music that we're talking about of this time, the Mamas and the Papas, the Temptations, the Beach Boys, Simon and Garfunkel, I mean, it goes on and on and on. Lee, can you put it into words? What is it about that period of music?
I think in the 60s and 70s, these harmony groups were, you know, they were healing a nation. And I think that the this sound, this really unique sound, was it's sort of like it wove a tapestry, and I think that it resonated with people, and it was extremely healing. And I think that now it's so timely, because when all else fails and we have a lot of horror in the world right now, I think that music is the one constant that will always be there to heal hearts and to,
right.
You know, it just, it's so healing. So that's why I think that, that's why I think this is so timeless and so relevant at the moment.
Right. Now I'm going to go right down the list, Johnny. When we talk about this music, though, I mean, there's a lot of great music being created today, Johnny, but there's something about the 60s. Is it the lack of distractions at that time? The lack of, there was no internet. There was, you know, just more time. What do you think it was?
You know, I don't know that it was definitely a simpler time as far as technology and such. And as Lee said, you know, it was a time for healing and a time of bringing people together. I just think that there's an intimacy and a thematic arch for, you know, peace and love and coming together. And, ending the divisiveness, bringing people together, including people, and exploring these themes of togetherness. And you know, as was said in the introduction, I was very blessed because my New York band, the Johnny Rogers Band, we did travel for 6 years for the U.S. Department of State as musical ambassadors for the United States, and we went to so many amazing places I never thought I would see, you know, everywhere we went, whether we were playing at an embassy or we were doing a concert, outdoor concert, or we were in a tiny village in Djibouti, North Africa, what really struck me was, you know, that music is a healer and it does build bridges, regardless of race, regardless of religion, regardless of nationality. Music is one of those things that can be shared and break barriers and really get to the hearts of people and speak to those people. And I think that's what these artists were really trying to do.
Mm. So now, Susanna, and I love saying your name, Susanna. It reminds me very much of one of my favorite places on this planet, Savannah. When you came up with the idea for Mars on Life, what a great title.
Oh, thanks.
As I say, there's great art being created today. What were you thinking about when you thought of that title, Mars on Life?
Oh, golly. I mean, I think I was thinking of something kind of attractive and fun, and in this crazy world, I kind of wanted to bring my personal sensibility about you know, talking to audiences and my take on things. When the show that I was doing was first developed for, as a holiday show, and it kind of reminds me of the sensibility of this show of bringing people together in community. And part of the work that I do in my solo pieces are really connecting with the audience at a kind of a cellular level. I often invite a lot of guest artists, and I when I was thinking about what you were talking about, the 60s and what it is about this music that's unique, and just sonically and also in my solo work, it's really important to me to bring a lot of threads of thought and sound into a piece. And this music, you know, not only lyrically is incredibly important for today, but sonically, to hear voices and instruments come together, there is something so beautiful about the blending. It's not only, you know, a lyrical language way to talk to people about coming together, but it's actual audible reality that these voices, disparate voices, Johnny and Lee and myself, coming together and creating this beautiful sound together. It's just a reality of the sonic situation of this kind of music.
We you know, I also think that, about it over and over again. Yes.
Oh, I was going to say that, you know, when these songs were being written in the 60s and 70s, you know, it was I think the reason a lot of these songs were written were to heal a nation during wartime. And, you know, if you look at, and I don't think this is the reason why we created this concert necessarily. I think we created the concert just because we wanted to celebrate this unique moment in musical history, because there really hasn't been another time such as this this, you know, harmony moment. But, you know, clearly we are a country at war even within our own country right now. And so I just think it's really timely. You know, we obviously everybody's been talking about the tragedy in Las Vegas, and Johnny and I literally last night flew back to LA from a week of touring in Wisconsin, and we've been talking about this all week, and you know, nobody has answers, and so, you know, when you can't formulate an answer, this music somehow makes sense. And it's so simple, and it gives us hope, you know, and I think that's what we all need.
Okay. Hope.
Hey, Joe.
That's the line. Yes.
Okay. You know this because, you know, I've talked about this before. I, all day long, when I'm at my desk working, when I'm getting showered and dressed, when I'm cooking, anytime, I listen to music all the time, and when I'm at home or in my office, I listen to you know the cable stations that have different varieties of music. There's blues and jazz. Sure. Then they have channels like the 60s, the 70s, the 80s, the solid gold oldies. What I listen to is the music of the 60s and 70s. It was incredible, and it was an incredible time for music. But what I most appreciate about the music of that period is that the artists were storytellers. They were songwriters who told great stories. And when you listen to the music of that time, you know, like a Jim Croce song, you know, it's a story. He's telling you a story, and you get lost in the song because you have to pay attention. Because it's a story, and it seems like all of the music from that time, that's what it revolves around. And then, of course, the great talent, you know, the great talent, the great harmonies. Yes, there is some good music out there today, but personally, my music of choice is that, and it's still relevant.
Well, I mean, they were poets. These young songwriters, you know, James Taylor and Joni Mitchell and the Mamas and the Papas. I mean, these were like, they were poets. And I think that's why the music and the lyrics resonate. I mean, I can remember the lyrics to these songs more. I probably could not spout off, you know, a Lady Gaga lyric, much as I think she's a brilliant talent, but I could spout off a James Taylor lyric any day. Don't ask me because it's early in the morning, but I could do it.
You want to know something really, really interesting. I was just 2 months ago, I think it was, I was in a bookstore and I was roaming around and I saw that they had a fairly sizable music area, which I personally, I didn't think anybody sold CDs. I know vinyl was making a comeback, but I didn't know that people actually sold them in stores anymore. And I was roaming around. And I still listen to CDs. You know, I have one of those six players, and I'll pick a group of CDs, and I'll put them in there, and I'll just hit play, and I'll just listen to them just in background, you know? So I was walking around the CD section, and one of the people that worked there came up to me and said, "Can I help you?" And I said, there are a couple of CDs. There are a couple of things I'm looking for, but I can't even imagine you have them. He said, "Who?" And I said, "Gordon Lightfoot and the Mamas and the Papas." And he looked at me and he goes, "Yeah, we always carry those. We always have them in stock. They have never stopped selling." And I actually bought those two CDs that day. And that was 2 months ago.
Wow.
Amazing. And the artists of that time also, you know, they had such a direct impact. I mean, you were talking about, you know, the great loss we just suffered with Tom Petty's passing. And, you know, he came directly out of that, you know, very influenced by Bob Dylan, you know. And you know, songs like that make these profound statements in a very simple way. How many roads must a man walk down before you call him a man? That sentiment and those kind of lyrics that can, in, you know, a 3-minute song, change, you know, your whole perspective. That's why it was so beloved. The song was so beloved and then covered by Peter, Paul, and Mary and the Staple Singers. You know, there is a direct connection and there's definitely influences felt in the artists of today. You know, it comes from this beautiful wellspring of these truly great poets of that time.
The most amazing lyrics. I was trying to think of them and I couldn't, but of course I have Google, so I am powerful. What's the best stanza is, "The drone of flying machines is a song so wild and blue. It scrambles time and seasons. If it gets through to you, then your life becomes a travelogue of picture postcard charms. Amelia, it was just a false alarm." I listen to that album at least once or twice every 6 months. Hejira by Joni Mitchell, and I'm always blown away by it. It's just the most amazing thing. But that's art, right? That's what art does to us. That's why people,
absolutely,
you know, rich people who have nothing else to do with their money will pay millions of dollars for a painting.
Yeah, and it's so, I love the multifacetedness, not only the poetry, but then, of course, the music laid over, the vocals, the instrumentals. It just merges to make something so miraculous. I'm always awed by that.
And it always seemed to me, always seemed to me there was somewhat of a kind of a troubadour feel to the artists of that time. You know, you could see Joni, you know, at a little club in Coconut Grove, and you know, with just her and her guitar, and James Taylor the same, you know, and Peter Paul and Mary just a couple of guitars, and you know, and the voices, and it was so intimate and inclusive, and I think people just wanted to be closer to it and to be a part of it.
Right.
Absolutely.
Right.
I think it's Johnny and I for the last what. 3 years, Johnny, or two years, have been touring with Simon and Garfunkel tribute. And over the 20 years that Johnny and I have worked together in various concerts, I mean, we've done the Sinatra tribute. We've done Johnny Mercer tribute. We've done a Rat Pack tribute. But this Simon and Garfunkel tribute, we look out into the audience and everybody is mouthing the lyrics along.
Yeah.
Without even realizing it, they're mouthing the lyrics along, which tells us that this music just resonates. It's like it's in our DNA, you know?
Yeah.
It's really, it's a really lovely moment every night that we perform this concert. And so because we had that experience, we thought, you know, what is it that makes that music resonate and stick more than others, or differently than others? And we realized that it's the harmony, and so that's why we created In Perfect Harmony, and the whole show celebrates that sound.
Well, speaking, go ahead.
Well, I was going to say also, it was a time when people, when certain groups like such as the Beatles and the Beach Boys were pushing the envelope sonically in the studio as well. I mean, experimenting with new sounds, experimenting with new new entire approaches to songs as far as chord changes, making concept albums. It was just... they were stretching, they were reaching for the most creative place that they could find and the most unique sounds. And I think that as a result, you know, we got this wealth of material that sounds, I mean, the moment you hear the beginning of Wouldn't It Be Nice by the Beach Boys, you know exactly what it is, because it's slightly out of
chord.
Tune.
Yep.
You're not sure what instrument that is. But it's so unique, and it takes you immediately back to the place where you first heard it.
Mm-hmm.
Else there is in this music? It's so intimate, which in its nature, because it is poetry, it's so intimate. And we're so excited to be premiering it at Torrance Cultural Arts. We've had a long time friendship with that venue. In fact, I think maybe 10 years ago, I did it, the Johnny Mercer concert there. And so when Chris Wolfe at the venue asked us, I think about a year ago, whether we would premiere the concert there, we were so excited to bring this into a theater because the music is so intimate. I think it's just going to be a really great weekend, and we're doing two performances, which is very exciting.
Right.
Yes,
wow.
On Saturday October 7th, two performances at 2 and 8 p.m. But I wanted to get back to I don't know if it was Lee or Johnny. One of you mentioned, Lee mentioned the Simon and Garfunkel concert, and as I mentioned in the intro, you recreated the Simon and Garfunkel Live in Central Park concert that happened in September 1981. I was there for that concert. I was at that concert. I was, and I will never forget
Central Park.
It was amazing, and I can remember it clear as day. The last song they played was Paul Simon's Late in the Evening, and the park was kind of emptying out. You know, people were starting to leave, but They kept playing it. There were so many people there, and I was actually on my boyfriend's shoulders, and we were, and everybody was dancing as they were walking out of the park. It was such an amazing evening. Why did you choose to recreate that concert?
Well, you know, Johnny called me like 4 years ago and said, we need to do another project together, because it had been a few years. He had been musical directing and touring with Liza Minnelli. And basically, he left me for a bigger name is what happened. But he came back. And he said, we should do another project.
Fickle.
And I said, great. Fickle. What would you like to do? And he said, how about if we do a Simon and Garfunkel tribute, which I knew would be so much fun to sing with him. But then I thought, in order to have a show that really markets well at venues, we needed another hook to it. And I thought, what if we recreated, not impersonated, but just recreated the identical set list that they performed in Central Park in 1981? Because that was probably one of the most iconic musical moments of all time. It was their, they hadn't performed together for, I think, 7 years, and they reunited for that one night. And that album is one of the best-selling albums of all time. They were expecting, I think, like 150,000 attendees in Central Park, and it rained all day, and they had over 500,000 people show up. And it's, I think it's the seventh largest concert in history, concert attendance in history. So we sort of ran with that, and we recreate song for song in the exact order that they performed it, with a full band and great multimedia. And we've just been having a ball touring. We've been touring all over the country with it for the last 2 years.
Wow.
That is a moment in time, and I'm already I have tons of ideas. I'm the set designer, and I'm thinking, okay, well, I want trees. I want a few big buildings in the back. I can see the set right now. I mean, it's just going to be gorgeous. We're going to Carnegie. We're going to Carnegie with this. It's going to be great.
Hey Joe. Let's do that quick commercial break, and then we come back. Let's listen to some music.
Ladies and gentlemen, you're listening to the South Bay Show, and we are in perfect harmony with the imperfect harmony cast: Lee Lesak, Johnny Rogers, and Savannah Mars. This amazing event is going to happen at the Torrance Cultural Arts Center right here in the South Bay, Saturday, October 7th, for two shows. Count them, two shows at 2 p.m. and 8 p.m. You do not want to miss this event. This is going to be for anyone. And again, my son is 22. My youngest is 22, and for his generation, there's some of them that don't even know about this music, and there's others of them that this is all they listen to, music long before they were born, and created long before they were born. It's just a magical thing. We're gonna experience this. I'm looking forward to it very much, and please join us. And of course, we're not gonna take phone calls today. We're going to just talk about music and play some music, and please enjoy and share with friends, and think about the Torrance Cultural Arts Foundation and all that they do for us. Thank you very much. Okay, so tell me, Lee, tell me about this piece, because both Jackie and I listened to it, and there is something amazingly special about The Sound of Silence. It was the sounds, plural, of silence originally, and then they changed the name. They released it acoustically, and then, believe it or not, their first album, Wednesday Morning 3 a.m., they broke up after the album was released because it was a commercial failure. Paul went back to England. Art went back to Columbia. It was over. And then their producer remixed it without their knowledge with electrical instrumentation. And then it went to number one.
Yeah, it's
these are the things that happen.
Yeah. Well, I know that you wanted to play some music from the show, but as we said, this is the premiere, so we haven't recorded anything yet. We're going to film the show this weekend, so then we will have some recording of it. But because we include Simon and Garfunkel in the In Perfect Harmony concert, Johnny and I have recorded our Live in Central Park Revisited Simon and Garfunkel concert. And so the recording of Sound of Silence that you're going to play is from that album that we just recorded last year. I think it's, you know, it's probably their most identifiable song that that Simon and Garfunkel recorded, and one of their biggest hits. And we love recreating that tune.
It's a beautiful thing. Well, without further ado, the Sound of Silence.
Hello, darkness, my old friend. Left its seeds while I was sleeping, and the vision that was planted in my brain still remains within the sound of silence. In restless dreams I walked alone, narrow streets of cobblestone. Neath the halo of a street lamp, I turned my collar to the cold and damp. When my eyes were stabbed by the flash of a neon light, split the night and touch the sound of silence. And in the naked light I saw 10,000 people, maybe more. People talking without speaking, people hearing without listening, people writing the words of the prophets are
Okay.
Wow.
That's beautiful.
Thank you
so
much.
I love that. Great.
You can't help but hum along. It's
the
so
harmonies.
Incredible.
Yeah. 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 The harmonies in that piece are pretty special. Tell me musically about the harmonies in this piece. Is there anything of note, Lee or Johnny, you could take this, that makes that piece special? I mean, like fifths to thirds or something, because there's something so unique about that. You never hear a piece that's quite that well constructed in that tight somehow.
Well, I think
there's
that,
something special about it.
Absolutely. And I think it's true of all, you know, of many of Simon's songs. He has a real, they had such a sound together. But I think part of what makes a song like that so special is that, you know, there is a melody. There's a definite melody and a harmony, but the harmony is so beautifully crafted that if you heard that and only that, it could also serve as a melody. And so you have these two highly melodic lines coming together as harmony, and it really creates kind of this one melody of two parts. And I think that's what unifies the sound in such a glorious way.
Well, I never, right. You know what? I
that's
never
such a...
thought about that, but that's so accurate. You could sing either the melody line or the harmony line, and it would sound like the melody line.
Mm-hmm.
We're so used to it. Yeah. We tried. We tried to be creative and, you know, change up some of the harmonies when we were crafting the show. But you know what? It doesn't work, because those harmonic lines are so ingrained in our memory that it didn't work. It you know, we kept going back to the simplicity of the original. You know, it's like they were genius. They really were.
Yeah,
right.
Some things you just don't mess with, you know.
Exactly.
In this day of remaking movies and TV shows, and you know, people just want to put their own twist on it. You know, there are certain things that are just perfect the way they are, and you don't mess with them.
You don't mess with perfection. That's so true, and that's why we convinced Susanna Mars to join this concert. Because she is one of our favorite voices of all time. I've been working with Susanna since 1996, distributing her albums, and we finally found a project that was just the perfect fit. And she lives in Portland now, but we got her back to Southern California for the opening, and then we're going to take her on tour with us. Wait till you hear this voice. We are giddy with excitement.
I wish we had gotten one of your MP3s. I didn't think I had been asking Chris. I was like, send me an MP3, and I didn't think that this is the premiere of this concert. So there's not going to be a recording of it yet. But I wish we could have gotten some of Suzanne, an MP3 from Suzanne to listen to. But everybody can go to the show this weekend and hear the music. Is it this weekend?
It's this Saturday. Yes.
This Saturday. That's right. Okay. I want to ask, can you tell us some of the songs that you're going to be singing in this show? Give us a tease.
I can do that. We do Mamas and the Papas medley. So songs like California Dreamin', Monday Monday, 12:30, I Call Your Name. We do a whole tribute to Peter, Paul, and Mary, which includes 500 Miles, Where Have All the Flowers Gone, Blowing in the Wind. We hit up the Beach Boys, Wouldn't It Be Nice, God Only Knows, Good Vibrations. Simon and Garfunkel, of course, with Sound of Silence, and Cecilia. Susanna and Johnny do a killer rendition of Mockingbird. Yeah, we hit the Beatles with Here Comes the Sun and Let It Be. Teach Your Children Well, Turn, Turn, Turn. Something Stupid, the Frank Sinatra duet. House of the Rising Sun. Aquarius, Let the Sun Shine In. So it's a full afternoon or evening of music. And we have a full live band. We have a live band with one of the greatest guitar players on the planet. His name is Joe Ravo. And as we speak, he is flying here from New York because we don't go anywhere without him. He tours with our Simon and Garfunkel tribute, and he's coming out to Torrance today. And we've got a fantastic bass player, Randy Landis, and Ed Smith on drums, and whole multimedia projection as well. So it's
and the fun thing about having Joe Ravo on guitar is he grew up, you know, he was born in the Bronx, and he grew up, you know, in New York. And he studied with the same teacher at the same time, guitar, as Paul Simon. So, you know, they were, you know, he knew Paul's brother quite well. And you know, he went to see the Beatles. You know, he really had this music in his blood. You know, and that's a wonderful thing to bring to the show.
Right.
Oh, this is going to be a great show. This is going to be a great show, Joe.
Yes, it is. I agree, 100%. Can't miss it.
Tell me something. Who was it that originally sang Mockingbird? Was that Carly Simon? And who was that?
Mm-hmm. James Taylor.
James Taylor
and Carly Simon did it, but they were not the original people who did it. I believe that there were a couple of covers. Of course, Aretha Franklin covered it as well, similar style and vein. And on top of that, it was originally done by Inez and Charlie Fox. With two X. So if you look that up, they do an incredible rendition. And as I was, you know, researching the song and finding all these different versions of it, you know, it was amazing to hear all these different, I mean, very similar arrangements, but a little different flavor in each one of them. Ours is obviously a nod more to the Carly Simon, James Taylor version. But that Charlie and Inez Fox version and the Aretha Franklin version are also amazing.
I didn't realize that Inez and Charlie Fox actually wrote the song. They wrote it in 63. I didn't realize that.
Oh,
and, you
I didn't
Dusty
know that
Springfield
either.
Had a big hit with it, too, in 64, I believe. And then Carly Simon and Taylor, their rendition came out in 1970.
You were mentioning earlier about The Sound of Silence, how perfect it is. You tried playing with changing some aspects of it, and we all decided that it's perfect as it is. You shouldn't change it. But many musicians do that when they do cover songs. They like a song and they take it and they change it up and they make it their own. And I recently watched a documentary. It was The Making of Pet Sounds, and which, you know, the Beach Boys album. And I never knew this, but their song, the Sloop John B, which is to me the penultimate, you know, Beach Boys song. And watching that documentary, I learned that that was originally done by a group in the 50s. I think it was called the Kingsmen or something like that. And and they played it, and it was a completely different song. Same lyrics. But completely different, like, you know, four-part harmony, like the way they used to do it in the 50s or whatever. And then the Beach Boys, apparently, what's his name, was a big fan of this band, and he loved it, and they took it and they made it their own. And you would never imagine it was the same song. If you haven't heard it, go back and listen to it. It's pretty amazing. So
wow, that's
have
I
you
will
guys,
check that.
have you guys done that with other songs? Have you taken some of them and made them your own?
Sure, we have. And Johnny's an amazing arranger and a great songwriter. So he is masterful at taking a piece and sort of reinventing it. And we have created some new harmonies on some of these pieces. But, you know, a lot of the classic songs, the harmonies are how they're remembered. And so we really wanted to honor those as well. And so we for the most part, we are sticking pretty true to how they were written, because I think that's what people connect to, and that's the whole reason we're doing this. Yeah. But as a rule, in general, when we tour with concerts, we're constantly creating new arrangements. It's thrilling to take a standard from the Great American Songbook, whether it be a jazz standard or a Broadway standard, and to recreate it and make it your own. It's easier to do with a solo than it is with some of these harmony pieces where the harmonies are so recognizable.
Yeah. Well, speaking of that, might be a silly question, but how'd you come up with the name of the show?
I don't remember. Johnny?
I don't remember either.
It's
a little obvious, but who came up with it? How did you come up with it?
Oh, I'm sure it was my idea. I don't know. That's a very good question. I think we were just talking about, honestly, our Simon and Garfunkel tour has been a huge success all over the country. And wherever we go, we're selling out huge venues. Now, this year we're playing 2,000-3,000 seat venues. And we wanted something that we could bring back to these venues that have had such success with our Simon and Garfunkel concert. And so we thought about it, and we thought, what is it about that concert that resonates so deeply? And clearly, it's the harmony. And so we thought, well, let's do a concert. I think Johnny came up with the idea of a concert of all harmony. And I think in just talking about it and coming up with a list of the harmony groups that we would cover, in that conversation, the idea of in perfect harmony just surfaced.
I like it.
Well, it's,
I like it.
I think the world
sounds like it's
going to
be perfect.
A lot of harmony.
You what?
I think the world could use a little bit of harmony right now.
I think you're right.
Yes, absolutely.
Not to mention some tambourine.
Oh yes. I forgot. How could we forget this, Susanna? Not only are you getting a full band, but you are getting the debut of Miss Tambourine herself, Susanna Mars.
And don't forget about Miss sleigh bells.
Don't forget the sleigh bells.
Imperfect harmony.
It's amazing
imperfect
what you
harmony.
Can learn how to do on YouTube.
Exactly.
ladies and gentlemen, Imperfect Harmony with Lee Lessex, Susanna Mars, Johnny Rogers, Tambourine, and Sleigh Bells. All right. Okay.
That's right.
I like it.
Fantastic.
I like it. All right. Okay, so we need some information how people can get tickets. Do you know the website where people can go to buy tickets or the
Absolutely.
Price or anything? All right,
yes,
perfect.
You can go to Torrance Arts, TORRANCEARTS.org, Torrance Arts. And right on the front page, you'll see October 7th in Perfect Harmony, 2 p.m. and 8 p.m. And there's a link to buy tickets. I think we still have seats left, and we would love to see you in Torrance this weekend. We're moving to Torrance for the weekend. That's how excited we are.
Are you going to be playing at the Norris Theater or the which theater are you going to be in?
I believe it's called the Armstrong.
Oh, the Armstrong, the James Armstrong.
Oh.
Sorry, the James Armstrong. Yeah, sorry, Norris is another venue. The James Armstrong, because that Torrance Cultural Arts Center is a huge facility, a great facility. Two fabulous theaters, a larger one and a more intimate one than Nakano. So, yeah, so that's right. And what tickets are, anybody have ticket price information?
You are asking all the hard questions today.
I have all the information. I just need to look it up, but I just thought you might.
I think tickets are like 25, 30, and 35.
I owe 25, 35, 45, something like that. Okay, very, very reasonable. Very reasonable.
Mm-hmm.
None of those ridiculous ticket prices. And again, in perfect harmony with Lee Lesak, Susanna Mars, and Johnny Rogers, a cast of thousands, on Saturday, October 7th, for two shows only at 2 in the afternoon and 8 p.m. All right.
And bring your kids so you guys have something to talk about.
Oh, yeah. Well, you know, all of my friends that have kids that are, they've grown up with the music we grew up with. I don't know. Does that work? Is that generational? Whatever the parents are listening to, the kids grow up to?
Yeah, I think they get used to those sounds and they enjoy it. You know, it's such a fun way to exchange ideas and talk about, the various eras and just be together in such a fun setting.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yeah, this is going to be exciting.
We are very much looking forward to it. And for anyone who doesn't know where Torrance Cultural Arts is, it's at 3330 Civic Center Drive, right in Torrance, California. So close to L.A. Mm-hmm. So for those listeners in L.A., we hope you'll join us this weekend.
Mm-hmm.
All
right.
And would you give us, do you all have like a website or pages that people can go to and listen to some of your music, if you'd like to give that out?
I've got SusannaMars.com.
I've got.
I think
Johnny Rogers.
We all have just our names. Yeah, Johnny Rogers.
With a D.
.com.
The proper way. With
the proper
D.
way. And LeeLesak.com. So they can. We're all over the interwebs.
All right.
Thank you so much for having us on for the full hour. We're thrilled this worked out.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Oh yeah, thank you.
What a pleasure.
Thank you very much. This is special. We're looking forward to this. This is something that Jackie and I both believe strongly in, that people don't have to go to the West Side for great theater, don't have to go to the West Side or Orange County for music. We have some amazing stuff right here in the South Bay.
Yes,
our
whole goal in life is not to ever have to get on a freeway, and we're very fortunate here in the South Bay to have so many cultural venues and we love it when the biggies come to us. We love it. So thank
right.
you all
well,
so much.
We love that you just referred to us as the biggies.
The biggies.
you just made my day.
That could be the name of our next concert, The Biggies.
The next concert, The Biggies, and I will take credit for that. I will take credit for that.
That's right. Jackie,
well, we look forward to meeting you in person this weekend.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Awesome. We're looking forward to it.
All right.
Have a
wrap
great
it up,
day.
Bring us home, Joe.
Lee Lesak, thank you so much for joining us today.
Oh, it's a pleasure.
Johnny Rogers, thank you so much for joining us.
Oh, thank you for having me.
And Susanna Mars, thank you so much for joining us.
You are welcome. I'm going to shake my tambourine for you.
Okay, thank you.
Have a great day. Thanks.
You don't get an offer like that every day.
Yeah.
You don't get an offer like
that
every day.
Video.
Thank you, everybody. I hope you enjoyed it. Please share this with all your friends and neighbors, relatives. Thank you, Jackie.
Always a pleasure, Joe.
All right, that's our show. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.